We thank the Lord this morning for the opportunity to bring to you and tell you what he came. I pray that as you hear with your ears, that God will open up your ears and your heart, not to hear what this wretch has to say, but what God the Holy Spirit is saying to you, that you will hear his word and not mine. When we read verses like Matthew chapter 19, verse 4, Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, Romans chapter 14, verse 17, Matthew 6, 14, and then compare them with Ephesians chapter 2, we heard this morning, John chapter 8, verse 44, or Galatians 1, verse 14, it becomes abundantly clear to us who know the Lord that there are two separate, distinct kingdoms with two separate, distinct kings ruling two separate, distinct groups of people. There is the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And we're going to talk about those two kingdoms this morning and what you may have to do to get out of one of them. Let's pray. Holy, righteous God, thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray that you will use this clay pot, this wretch, as a vessel to bring your word, to let those who don't know you know that there is a God to fear. Glorify your name. Take all glory to yourself. In Jesus' name. There are two groups, my friends, and two kingdoms. There is the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Those that are in the kingdom of light, Jesus calls lights. In Matthew, and the three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we find that these three apostles write about this king and the kingdom. In Matthew, our king is portrayed in the character that his audience could identify. He's portrayed as the Messiah and the eternal king. In Mark, he's portrayed as the Son of Man. In Luke, the beloved physician, he's portrayed as the perfect human being and our Savior. And of course, in John, he is not only described as the Word of God, but God himself, the Word that became flesh, dwelt among us. Our king's character will be culminated in Revelation chapter 19, where he is described as the faithful and true. Our king's subjects consist of those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It consists of those who are poor or were poor in spirit, and realizing their poverty, cried out to the king, and he filled their hearts. fill them with the Holy Spirit. The subjects in this kingdom have humbled themselves and sought the Lord for forgiveness for the rebellion that they had against him. The subjects in this kingdom rejoice that they were delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Those that have died to themselves have taken up the cross, their cross, and is following their king. Those who have turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. There is a coming wrath. We want to let CNN, the news people, know that the next great event that's going to happen will not be COVID. It will be the rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangels, the scripture tells us, that with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so we say the next really great event that will affect the total globe will be the disappearance of Christians all over the world. After that, let me just tell you what's going to happen quickly so that when it happens, you will know. So that when the rapture experts come on CNN to tell us what would happen, you will know what happened. Christians will be transported into heaven. Man will arise, called the Antichrist. He will be, and he is right now, the king of the second kingdom we're going to talk about. The scriptures in 2 Thessalonians chapter 4 reminds us that the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he that now prevents this wickedness, that's the Holy Spirit, preventing the wickedness from becoming full force, will continue to prevent it until he be taken out of the world. Then shall the son of perdition, the Antichrist, be revealed. We want to talk about these two kingdoms. Until that happens, we're not going to embrace the predictions of false prophets and tell you when it's going to happen. We don't know, but be sure of this. He that is coming will come and will not tarry. Until then, those of us who are in the kingdom of light have been given the responsibility to tell. We look out in the landscape and we see the spreading of this wicked kingdom. I am sure that any discerning, spirit-filled child of God, as they observe the landscape, the manufactured evil which has been unleashed on humanity more than ever, must come to the conclusion that the kingdom of wickedness, Satan, knowing his time is short, Revelation chapter 12, verse 22, is becoming more wicked. Have taken control of everything, I mean everything. I want to remind you of this kingdom of darkness as it's described in Ephesians chapter 6. It contains four regions. There's the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. This wicked kingdom has influenced and continues to influence the world leaders on the globe. Unrighteousness and unholiness continues to be on the increase. We're going to read Romans chapter 1 because I believe with all my heart that the wrath of God has been unleashed. And I'm going to show you why I believe that it has been unleashed, not only on this nation, but upon the world. And this is why we need to tell them. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. This is what those that are in the kingdom of light can say. This is what we proclaim as the church of Jesus Christ. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greeks. For in it is the righteousness of God revealed, and faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And here is the wrath. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifested to them, for God hath revealed it or showed it to them. For the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God unto the image made like corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beast, and creeping things. Wherefore, here's the judgment. God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, here is the judgment. God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their own lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do them, but have pleasure in them that do them. As we look at the landscape with our own eyes, observing the prevalence and the influence of the kingdom of darkness, which has now swept our nation, manifesting its ugly head in every area, there is a temptation to ask oneself, how did we get here? Whenever a nation sees the truth of God, is given evidence of that truth and the consequences of violating that truth, but still goes ahead and continues to hold the truth in unrighteousness, then of necessity, there is a certain wrath that must come out of heaven. We have now a nation which for a long time is now under the wrath of God. Now, how do we know when a nation is under the wrath of God? What evidences are given to us from Scripture to let us know that a nation is under the wrath of God? Well, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 19, let's look at verse 25. And 26. God gave them unto vile affections. So the first thing you're going to see, when first evidence that God has given up or his wrath is upon a nation, is that there's going to be a sexual revolution. That has been going on for some time. Uncleanness through lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies among themselves. Lewdness, pornography, sexual perversions as a way of life. The first evidence you will see, wife swapping, husband swapping, sexual perversions of all kinds. So you're going to see a sexual revolution. The second evidence that God has given up, his wrath is up on a nation, is that you will also find and see a homosexual revolution. So you will go from a sexual revolution where all kinds of lewdness and filth and perversions take place as a way of life to a homosexual revolution. That's in verse 27. And likewise also, and also a lesbian revolution. Look at verse 26. We know that this is rebellion because a woman, as God created her, was created to procreate. But the vile affections of this kingdom of darkness has overtaken the nation. And so we have lesbianism and homosexuality. We and the children of light cannot make apologies about shining the light and bringing the truth. I would not be faithful to the gospel if I simply stood here and told you a lie. This is the truth, and we must stand for it. God help us. We will stand for the truth. And so we have
a nation undergoing the wrath of God. A homosexual revolution, men with men committing indecent acts. Likewise, also their men leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their own lust, working that which is unseemly. What is the third evidence that God's wrath is upon a nation? The first evidence is a sexual revolution. The second evidence is a homosexual revolution. The third evidence is found in verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind. That is a mind where you've lost all reality. You can't even think straight. One author wrote and said that there are 100 genders. There are 100 genders. So now everyone can be their own gender. A reprobate mind, a mind that can't think straight. This is the third evidence that the wrath of God has fallen upon the nation. What's the fallout of that? Unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without natural affection, impeccable, idolatry, witchcraft, uncleanness, lewdness, hatred, variance, hypocrisy, wrath, seditions, gossips, rumors, envyings, murders, drunkenness, debasing levels of immorality, and a hate for God and his people. So this reprobate mind, it's a loss of a sense of reality. You don't even know who you are. This reprobate evil penetrates even the highest levels of the halls of government of a nation. So that the Supreme Court in 2013 struck down the defense of marriage and claimed that all people who spoke out against homosexual marriage was full of hate. I remind those of us who are in the children, in the kingdom of light, that there will come a persecution of those who will stand for the truth. But our hope is blessed. For Jesus said, blessed are you when men shall persecute you. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. How do we know that a nation is under the wrath of God? We know when a Secretary of State could vow to put up an LGBT flag on every U.S. embassy in the world. A reprobate mind. The wrath of God has fallen. I have a word to say to you, my friend, if you are not in the kingdom of light, you are in this kingdom of darkness. You must believe the gospel. You must believe the gospel. Why are we here? Why does Jesus call us children of light? Are we here to rebel against the government? No. Do we take up arms and go and burn down police stations and call for the defunding of the police? No. Do we run up to the Capitol building while they're in session and try to burn the Capitol building? No. What is our purpose as children of light?
Second Timothy chapter 2, Paul reminds Timothy that first of all, prayer and supplication should be made for our leaders. We pray. That's what we do. Supplicate. That word supplicate means to beg. To beg. To beg God for what? To save our leaders. That he will save them. That's what we supplicate. We don't beg God to throw them out of office. No, we pray that they will be saved. Why do we do that? Well, if our leaders are saved, we will lead a peaceable life. But if they're not, we may not lead a peaceable life. Our country is in trouble. We are in the kingdom of darkness. My friend, the message God has laid on my heart is not a message of politics. It's a message to let you know that you are, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, in this kingdom of darkness, and you need to repent. All the things that I just read off: wickedness, fornication, lewdness, hate, strife, hypocrisy, murder, all of those things come out of the kingdom of darkness. And they are influencing your life. You are in trouble with God. His wrath has not been only unleashed on this nation, but it has been unleashed also on you. How do I know that? Nicodemus came to Jesus in John chapter 3, and he asked him, how do I, in essence, get eternal life? Let's go to that book, John chapter 3, and I want to read it for you. And listen to what Jesus has to say about you in the kingdom of darkness. Listen to what he has to say about the trouble that you are in and what you need to do in this kingdom of darkness. John chapter 3. And look at verse 36. We go right down to it. Nicodemus comes to Jesus. Jesus says to him in verse 5, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then in verse 36, this is what Jesus has to say, and this is what he has to say about you. You're in trouble unless you repent. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. A great promise to those who are in the kingdom of light. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. A grave indictment for you, my friend, in this kingdom of darkness. You are in trouble with God, and you need to repent. He that hath the Son, John chapter 3, verse 36 reminds us, he that hath the Son hath life. You must understand, my friends, the only way to escape God's eternal wrath on your soul is to come out of the kingdom of darkness by repenting and believing the gospel. You are in this kingdom of darkness. You have no desire to seek after God. How do I know that? Psalm chapter 14 and Psalm chapter 57 tells us, and we're going to turn to it. Psalm chapter 14 and Psalm chapter 57. Psalm chapter 14, verse 1, we'll read it. So I do not use my own words. We're going to read the word of God. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Psalm chapter 14 and verse 1, this is what it says. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Now, when you translate this literally, it means the fool has said in his heart, there's no God for me. Look at verse 2. God took an assessment. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and see God. We are all going aside. We are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. So you have no desire to seek after God. Your heart is wicked and deceitful. And this is why you need to repent. Psalm chapter 57. Again. Excuse me. Let's go back to Psalm 14. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. You are in trouble with God. The trouble that your soul is in right now is that the wrath of God is abiding on your head. And you will experience that full wrath when your eyes are closed in death. For Hebrews chapter 9, 24 says, for it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You must repent of your wickedness and turn to God. You must believe the gospel. You cannot come to God with your own righteousness. How do I know that? Isaiah chapter 64. This is what God says about your own righteousness, trying to come to him with your own righteousness. Isaiah 64, verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are filthy rags, our filthy rags, and we do fade as a leaf. Our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Trying to come to God with your goodness and your righteousness, literally, here's the graphic illustration. It's like taking an underwear filled with feces and urine and putting it up in the face of God and expecting him to accept it. Putting it up in the eyes of a three times holy God whose eyes are too pure to behold iniquity. That's what God thinks of your goodness and your righteousness. You have none. There's nothing that you can do to please God. All your righteousness is filth in the eyes of a holy God. And until you repent, until you begin to seek after God, you begin to thirst for righteousness, your heart, your mind, and your soul will be lost. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 tells us that our hearts is deceitful. Your heart is deceitful.
it deceives you. Above all things, it is desperately wicked. Unlike what our modern day humanism, relativism is telling us about the self-acclimation and how you can be your own God and you can acclaim and be your own person. This is what Jesus, this is what God has to say about you. And this is what we have to share with you. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not about naming things and claiming things. It's not about getting rich, getting wealthy, self-acclimation. Believing the gospel is about self-denial, coming to God and realizing that I can't do anything for myself. Oh God, have mercy upon me. And he will. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24, again, you have an appointment in this kingdom of darkness. You have an appointment with God. And if you don't make it right by repenting of your sins, then you will experience the awful judgment spoken of in Revelation chapter 20, verse 13 to 15. Let us turn to it. This will be your end for refusing to believe and repent of your sins. Revelation chapter 20, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. At the beginning of our message, I told you that there are two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Those in the kingdom of light, we have our names written in the book of life. Those in the kingdom of darkness, your names are not there. And unless you repent, you will perish. Finally, you may ask, what do you mean to repent? What do I have to do? Cry out to God as the Holy Spirit gives you conviction. Confess to God that you are poor in spirit because you do not have his spirit living in you. Cry out in repentance to God, letting him know that you have rebelled and cursed and broken his law. And ask him to give you his Holy Spirit, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Humble yourself before God. Come down off your pride. Come down off of your good works. It is dirty underwear in the eyes of a three times holy God. Ask God to give you a hunger and a thirst for what is right, and a hate and an indignation for what is wrong. Ask him to give you a hate for what he hates, and a love for what he loves. Ask him to take that hateful heart you have for your neighbor, your partner, your wife, your husband, your children, your enemy that you would wish dead. Ask him for a forgiving heart to forgive those who had wronged you. For Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Ask him for a pure heart that only he has the power to give. And ask him to give you that new heart
Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 26 says, a new heart will I give to you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take that stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 26. Ask him to give you his peace. John chapter 14, verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. He is willing to give you that peace. Ask him to give you that peace. And unless you repent, my friends, you will not go unpunished. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. When Jesus was speaking to the people, and that portion of scripture, we all know it well. The people came to him and was letting him know that Herod or Pilate had murdered these Jewish worshipers in the temple, just sliced them up. And they came to Jesus and they were complaining. This is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, starting from verse 2. And Jesus answering them said, suppose ye that these Galileans were above all Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no, but except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Or the 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, do you think that they were more sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Everyone is afraid of COVID. Everyone is afraid of this virus. So people walk around up and down. They're in their cars and there's nobody in the car. And they have the mask on. Everyone is afraid. What are you afraid of? I'll tell you what you're afraid of if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not worried. We're just following instructions. The authorities told us to do it. We're doing it. According to Romans chapter 13, we are subject to the authorities. But you who don't know the Lord, what are you afraid of? You're afraid of dying, aren't you? That's what you're afraid of. You're afraid of dying. Why are you afraid of dying? You're afraid of dying because I believe deep down you know what Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24 has already said. It is appointed unto men once to die. There's a judgment. There's a judgment in the grave. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Those of you who are on Zoom, who are listening to the word of the Lord. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are dwelling and living in this kingdom of darkness. You're being deceived by Satan, the God of this world, who has blinded your eyes, lest the glorious gospel should shine upon you. We're praying that you would listen and hear the word of the Lord and repent before it's too late. I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I will make myself available to you after the meeting. You can come to me. I will be more than happy to share with you and to let you know what it really means to repent, what it really means to hunger and thirst for righteousness, what it really means to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Jesus is not calling you to wealth. I have to tell you this. If you decide to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, it is not going to be a life of wealth and health. In fact, he hasn't promised that, but I'll tell you what he promised. He promised tribulation. But you know what else he promised? He said, be not discouraged. I have overcome the world. So we're calling you to self-denial. we're calling you to a life of service to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, if you're listening and you've heard the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and you need to speak with me afterwards, or any questions or anything you might have that I may have said that you don't understand, I'll make myself available in the back. You can come and talk to me. I'd be more than happy to lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Dear Father, we give you all the glory that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We give you all the glory, Lord, that we know that in spite of the kingdom of darkness that has and continues to grow more wicked every day, with his lies, his deception, his manipulation, his intimidation for fear and wickedness, we know, Lord, that one day the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And so we pray, Lord, we pray for those who are in the kingdom of darkness. I pray that you will give them no rest and no peace until they come to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Father, for those of us in the kingdom of light, may we understand and realize that we are in this kingdom to shine and to make a difference. That the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That we don't fight with physical weapons. We don't riot. We pray, realizing that our weapons, the weapons of our warfare, are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down, Lord, logismos, ideas, thoughts, intents, wicked thoughts, pulling it down to the obedience of Christ. We pray in the name of Jesus that your people would continue to stand. And while the persecution may come, we know that you will be with us and you will always will be with us. I pray that you will strengthen your people to withstand, Lord, what we know is coming. We're seeing, Lord, that so many laws have been passed to silence the church and silence those who stand for the truth. Lord, I pray that you will help us to still stand, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Oh Lord, help us to stand even when others fall. We thank you now for hearing our prayers. Continue, Lord, to convict those under the sound of your voice, of their sin, of your righteousness, and their judgment to come. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you.